Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, howdy, good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio, Fear of Planets.
Fear of planets? Fear of planets? I was gonna ask you about that.
Why not? We wrap up our trip through the planets with a little CBS Radio Mystery Theater. A nifty title, Dave.
Ocean of Emptiness. Sounds like my first marriage.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds like the inner workings of my skull. Especially at the moment.
Yeah, Dale's having a little bit of something going on at the moment. We'll get past that into some other fun in a moment. But right now, Dale's on his own journey, and
we're just
glad to be back here with you once again for another Eerie House Radio. I really was going to ask you, what the heck, the fear of planets? I really didn't understand that, Dale. You had me confused.
You know, you think it would be fun like the 70s, but no.
That's as they say, if you remember the 70s, you really didn't live them. Unfortunately, I remember them. So, you know.
Yes. I do too, and I'll tell you what, this ain't nothing like it. It's a little dip in glucose, gang. No worries. Got things well underhand because we got plenty of radio and Oceans of Emptiness. That title is just very intriguing as it relates to our topic for the weekend, the planets.
Go ahead.
Well, no, you just know it's something about the depths and loneliness of space.
Yeah, and this one was written by the great voice talent Arnold Moss, who wrote I'd have to look it up, but he wrote several of the Radio Mystery Theaters throughout its run, and did have a bit of a part in here at the beginning and at the very end. But other than that, I think it's just basically just two characters throughout this entire story who are lost in space in a sense.
No, let's not go there again.
No, let's not. But if you didn't hear last night's broadcast, I tell you what, Gar was on high octane last night. He was absolutely hilarious, and such a pleasure to always have him on the show when he's feeling up to it. It was an interesting show last night, and it'll be an interesting story tonight. Coming to a time when Dale and I were 20 years old. I like it so much. You know, Dale has said, you know, the 70s, late 70s were really the golden age of radio was the 40s into the mid 50s, the silver age of radio really was the mid to late 70s. Is there was some really interesting radio produced not only by Hyman Brown, but by also Elliot Lewis with the Zero Hour and with the Sears Radio Theater / Mutual Radio Theater. And also was the General Mills Adventure Theater that Hyman Brown produced during this same period. And some other shows that popped up here and there. So it just like it went away late 50s, came back in the mid 70s, by the mid 70s. And it was just really interesting. I think if somebody did it and got nationwide distribution on it, it could be interesting again today.
Yes, you can. And let's get right to part one of Oceans of Emptiness. 20 years old. So when was our original broadcast date, Dave?
Original broadcast date was September 10th, 1980.
Click, will ya?
I'm reporting 65 degrees, Midway 61, O'Hare 56. The humidity 87%, the winds are southwesterly at 6, and the barometer 30.14.
Lashona Tova, greetings for the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, from News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. We read in the morning paper that the sun will explode in another 10 billion years, an incredibly long way off. But there are those who are concerned about the survival of mankind before those 10 billion years come to pass. They're sure that we will blow ourselves or poison ourselves out of existence long before that big blast comes. If we are to survive, if we can survive, they tell us we will be forced to migrate beyond our own tiny solar system to worlds as yet unknown, to forms of life that go beyond our present wildest imaginations.
Look down at your feet, Ned. Right under the guidance system. What is that?
Looks like a little pool of... Do you smell ammonia?
Yes, I do. How did it get there?
I have no idea.
And there's another little pool. And another.
Spreading out, wider and wider. Could it be that from some distant star out here in space, we're being invaded by a new form of life?
Our mystery drama, Ocean of Emptiness, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Arnold Moss. It stars Paul Hecht and Terry Keane.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Where is that clerk? Oh,
can I help you?
We have to see the hotel manager.
Right away.
I'll get him.
In hurry. Oh, John.
It's okay. It's okay.
Our vacation's ruined.
Don't worry, honey. Please, maybe we can find someone who'll
Hi,
help.
Hi, I'm the hotel manager.
Oh, listen, we've lost our traveler's checks.
All of them. What should we do?
Well, what kind were they?
American Express.
Right. American Express. Come on, I've got their number right here.
You can call for help anytime from anywhere in the country with American Express traveler's checks. Ask for them by name.
There are things you can be sure of.
Remember when things were pure and simple? Before additives, preservatives, and imitation flavors. Well, Minute Maid orange juice still is what it always was. 100% pure, 100% orange juice. That delicious Minute Maid taste is one thing you can always be sure of.
Make sure of the taste.
Hi, this is Wayne Newton. You know, too many high school graduates who want to go to college find they can't meet the high cost of higher education. Now, if college money is a problem for you, then I'd like to talk to you about a plan that will not only pay your tuition, but also pay you a monthly cash allowance while you're in school. If you can qualify, Naval ROTC will pay the cost of your college tuition, plus a monthly cash allowance. And when you graduate, you'll be commissioned as a Navy ensign or a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. It never is too early to plan for a future with an exciting career. The Navy. It's not just a job. It's an adventure. For more information, call toll-free 800-841-8000. 800-841-8000. You stepped into my life, stepped into my life, stepped into my life.
Is the basis from which man makes his leaps into the unknown. Incredible knowledge. In his attempts to discover the nature of the universe, man keeps making the kind of advances which sometimes simplify, sometimes complicate the process we call life. The time is a distant day in the future, 1995 to be exact. Two young Americans are tearing through space in the spaceship Hyperion, the first married couple to investigate some of the profoundest mysteries of the universe. They have tuned their radio receiver to ground control back on Earth.
Ned and Chloe Miller gave their lives trying to reveal what exists beyond the distant limits of our tiny, insignificant universe. Today, we memorialize the courage and the boldness of these two dedicated Americans, husband and wife, who set out into the darknesses of space, never to return. This happened exactly 100 years ago today, back in the year 1995. Ned and Chloe Miller were pioneers in the most daring adventure ever conceived by man up until
that
time.
Turn it off, Ned.
It's crazy, Chloe. I mean, what kind of joke are they pulling?
He was talking about us, whoever he was.
Yeah, as if we were dead.
Dead for 100 years.
As if this were the year 2095.
100 years from now. Gag or no gag, it is a little scary.
Yeah, it's got to be that idiot Charlie Abbott down at ground control. His crazy sense of humor.
Some joke.
Yeah, wait till we get back. I'll pin that monkey's ears right into the ground.
If we get back.
What are you talking about?
We've been out now for more than 36 hours. In a little over a day and a half, we've covered nearly 400 million miles. Right, Captain?
Right, Lieutenant. The reading says 389,986,000 miles from Earth. Well, what's your point, Chloe?
Here we are, almost in orbit with the planet Jupiter. When we left the launching pad, we were traveling at 50,000 miles an hour. In almost no time, we're approaching the speed of light itself.
Well, it's one of the reasons we're here.
175,000 miles per second.
Yeah, nearly 11 million miles an hour. So what?
10-15 years ago, only a writer with a mad imagination would have thought this was possible.
So?
So, I'm terrified. That's what. Absolutely terrified. And that's why I want us to turn back.
You know as well as I do we can't do that.
Why can't we?
For the first time in history, two people have been shot out into space where they're completely on their own. Except for our periodic reports back to ground control, we can go where we please, how we please, when we please.
Big deal.
I don't understand you. We are about to change the whole concept of the universe, maybe. Oh, Chloe, what's wrong with you?
Not a thing.
Look, we're piling up firsts, one right after the other. The first man and wife in space. The first humans to travel in the gravitational pull of other planets. The first manned flight to the last outposts of the solar system.
I know, Ned. I can recite them all backwards. I am still afraid.
Of what?
I'm afraid for you and me. I'm just afraid for us.
Oh, I don't get it.
We know that as an object like this ship approaches the speed of light, the energy that's needed to move that object
increases. Head of the class, Chloe. High school physics, Einstein's theory, E equals MC square.
Then you tell me the rest.
What's there to tell? As the energy increases, so does the mass of the moving object.
And? Go on, finish it. If the speed of light were to be achieved, and we're getting about as close to that speed as we ever will, then what happens? What happens, Ned? High school physics.
Nothing happens.
Nothing?
Well, the mass.
The mass. The moving object, in our case, this ship. What happens?
The mass becomes infinite. Immeasurable.
Which we both know is impossible. Right?
Which is why we can never actually reach the speed of light, no matter how close to it we may come.
But the closer we do get to it, the closer the possibility of destroying ourselves, of blowing ourselves into tiny little atoms of dust. And that's why I want to go back.
You knew all that before we ever started out. Nobody forced you, you know. Now, if we turn back, we'd be thoroughly disgraced.
But we'd be alive.
Oh, Chloe, take a look at all those stars out there. Billions and billions of them. Like so many tiny snowdrops or fireflies twinkling their little lights against a background of velvety black darkness. And just think, the light they're giving off, the light we are looking at, left those billions of stars millions and millions of years ago. And no human being has ever been closer to them than we are at this very moment. It's breathtaking.
The mystery of what we're looking at takes my breath away, too, but I want to look at them not from up here in space, but from the Earth once again, with my feet firmly planted on the ground. Oh, Captain, what do you say?
What's that?
We're on alert. What's going wrong?
Nothing on the scanner. I don't see anything.
Wait a minute, Ned. Look there, in the lower half of the third quadrant. That tiny speck.
You're right. How far away is it? How does it read?
It's directly on our course, headed straight for us. Unless we alter course, we'll collide smack into it. 0.5 minutes.
In 30 seconds. What the devil can it be?
I don't know. I'm taking evasive action. I'm veering us over to 0.15 degrees to port. Hold tight. It's coming right at us.
Whatever it is, I've never seen it on any of the charts. Take a look at those huge tongues of blue and yellow flames lapping the sides of it.
It's like a huge fiery rock of some kind turning over and over on itself.
I'll bet it's 20 miles across if it's an inch. Are we all right?
I think so.
Here it comes. That was close.
Much too close. What do you make of it?
I'm not sure. Hand me those color photos of Jupiter that Voyagers 1 and 2 sent back in 1979. You know, the ones where they discovered Jupiter's 14th moon?
Here you are. There are the star maps, too.
Mm. Well, as I see it, there are two possibilities. Either way, I think we've really got something. Look at this. On the photos.
That little dot?
That's no little dot, Flo. That could be the thing that nearly blew us into eternity. And if I'm right...
If you're right...
We'll have discovered what we've been looking for years. The fastest moving natural satellite of a planet on the whole solar system.
You mean...
I mean the 15th moon of the planet Jupiter. And the findings back in 79 always held out the promise of an additional moon. And that alone would make this project something pretty wonderful. Yeah, we could call it Chloe. After you, dear.
But you just said either way we've got something. What did you mean by either way?
If by some chance I'm wrong, and it's not another moon...
Then?
Then we could be in for some trouble. Real trouble.
What are you thinking?
That there's the possibility of it being an interloper. A barbarian power of some kind from some other galaxy trying to invade the solar system. An alien force that for some reason is bent on destroying us. It's almost time for us to make our report to ground control, Chloe. We've got to tell them what's happened.
What have you got to report?
The passage, the appearance of that thing... How it nearly crashed into us, nearly destroyed us, and the whole mission with it.
Oh, great. And the first question you'll be asked is, what do you think it was? What are you going to tell them? That it was a thing?
Oh, of course not.
That it was a moon? The 15th moon of Jupiter?
No, but that it might be.
They're going to ask you for proof. Got to find out more, much more than we know now.
Oh, I've got to report something.
Oh, go ahead, then. Tell them your other theory. Tell them that it could be a weird ship of some kind from some crazy galactic system. Tell them it was probably propelled by some odd, misshapen little monsters looking desperately to immigrate from their tiny star a billion miles from Earth onto one of our sad little planets. Tell ground control that, Ned. They'll think you've gone completely mad.
You may be right, Chloe.
Well, you're the commander of the Hyperion, not I, Ned. It's your party. And it's your pretty neck. I vote to turn back to Earth immediately.
Wait. Just 1 minute, Chloe. What's the composition of Jupiter's atmosphere? Do you remember?
Of course. Hydrogen, helium, methane, ammonia, water...
And so forth. Don't you see?
See what?
Almost the same components that were on Earth when life first emerged back there.
You mean... The thing that nearly jammed us could have taken off directly from the surface of Jupiter itself?
Why not?
That there might be some kind of life form on Jupiter?
Exactly.
But that's crazy. Nobody could breathe. Nothing could live in that kind of atmosphere.
You couldn't. I couldn't. But isn't it conceivable that some other kind of being,
a new and completely different form of life could. A great English poet, 200 years ago, had high praise for the man who, through vast immensity, can observe what other planets circle round the suns, what varied being peoples every star. Ned Miller suspects that he may be such a man on the brink of throwing light on the age-old question, does some form of life exist outside the Earth itself? More when we return shortly with Act Two.
Hi, I'm Susan Anton. Fitness that feels good by day needs firmness that feels good by night. That's why you'll love the CertiPerfect Sleeper. Luxurious top comfort plus deep inner support. You get both with every perfect sleeper. So remember, be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper, perfect sleeper. Buy Certa. It's a healthy investment in yourself.
You know how fussy I am about cheesecake. I insist on real cream cheese, tart cherries, luscious strawberries. That's why only Sara Lee will do. But I wish there were a size for Gloria and me.
I feel the same about coffee cake. I insist on those 108 layers of buttery Sara Lee Danish. But I wish there were a size for Walter and me.
Sara Lee has news for every Gloria and Walter. New Sara Lee for two. The goodness you insist on in a size that's brand new. Sara Lee for two. We made them for both of you.
Remember what it was like when you were a kid looking for a summer job?
Hello, Mr. Wilson, sir.
Why, Johnny, I haven't seen you around in a while.
Mr. Wilson, I was wondering if you might need someone to help out in the store this summer. You know, sweeping up, delivering packages.
Well, I don't know. Things are a little slow.
Please, Mr. Wilson, I'll really work hard.
Things were tough then, but they're tougher now, especially for a needy kid who needs a summer job. If you've got a job to give, call the National Alliance of Business. We're out to encourage business to get kids going on the right track. All we're asking you to give is a job to a kid who wants to work but hasn't been given a chance. A chance, like somebody once gave to you.
Well, I guess I could use someone to sweep up at night. When can you start?
Where's the broom?
Give a kid a break. Give a kid a job. Call your local National Alliance of Business. Brought to you as a public service by this station and the Ad Council.
No, Johnny, you're a rotten kid.
Oh. Hey, we should take a short break here, Dale. Now that you're feeling a little back there. We have a special thank you to dispense, do we not?
We do.
We do.
A very, very special thank you to Fogsbane for those cool radios he made us.
Yeah, he cut this out in on a 3D printer. And what was it? It took 16 hours for each one. Is that what I read? 16
like
hours?
That. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was to make the shell of these old-time radio shapes. Okay, and it's got a radio in it loaded with sound bites. From Eerie House Radio and also from Weirdness Really Bad Movie.
Oh, excuse me, 13 hours. 13 hours. Yeah, there it is, Fogs. Yeah, 13 hours.
Lucky 13.
It just unbelievable. And loaded up with some sound bites from Dale, Gar, and I, and some openings from some of the classic radio shows that we play right here on Eerie House Radio. Just absolutely amazing. In the shape of an old cathedral radio. So fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I finally arrived today. Gar's arrived yesterday. Mine arrived today. I'm not sure when Dale's arrived.
Mine came yesterday, days. I think. Or, yeah, yesterday. Okay. It was Friday, right.
So, I've got the orange and a white one. And it's really cool. And even it has burned in one of them, Eerie House Radio, and the other one, WRBM, for We're in a Really Bad Movie. And that's where he's got the speaker sound coming out. Names he cut in.
Yeah, they're beautiful colors, Fogs. I got a purple one. And also, I think I have a white one. But check it out, Dave. I believe it's glow in the dark.
Ooh, okay. I will be checking that out in a little bit.
Yes, it is. And Fogs Bane has confirmed it is, in fact, glow in the dark. Oh, I can't wait till tonight.
Oh.
I can play with robots and have my glow in the dark Eerie House Radio blaring. I'm a big dumb kid.
I hope not, CW. But if Dale turns that music on, we might have to. You know, the sappy, sad music there. But now we'll try not to.
That was hilarious. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
Gar was weeping openly.
Openly, yes.
Yes.
Oh my. But I did want to take a break from that while we're in the middle of our episode. Yeah, I know it's kind of funny. I said it was from September 10th, and then they were saying about Happy Rosh Hashanah at the beginning. Well, that's because the second time it was broadcast, the only other time it was broadcast was also December 11th of 1980. So that's how the Rosh Hashanah got in there. So this was actually a recording of the December, but although it's the exact same thing as what went on in September. So that's where that came from.
Uh-huh.
And just a quick peek here before we get back into the show. Arnold Moss actually wrote 29 episodes of the Mystery Theater. And I'm just trying to think if there's – I'm doing a quick look here. The Time Killer, we've aired that one. I think we may or may not have done The Man Who Could Work Miracles yet. I'll have to look that up.
I don't recall that.
In the Bottom of the World, I didn't think we did. The Matter of Conscience is one I had scheduled, and we rescheduled that one. Land of the Living Dead, I believe we did. That was his as well. A Long Way from Home, we did that one. And that he had adapted that one from Ambrose Bierce's story, I think. And this one here. So I guess that's about it of the ones that he's written. But I just love Arnold Moss's voice. He did the radio announcement at the very end. And another thing we talked about last night is how, you know, we never caught up to the future that they said they would. Now, this was originally broadcast in 1980, and they said this was in the future in 1995, a mere 15 years, and they already had a woman and a man and wife heading into space on an open expedition. That still is not anywhere, as far as I could see, in our near future there.
Yeah, you never know. Elon Musk is going crazy. Never know what he'll come up with, but I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime, but maybe the next generation will see some of that.
Maybe next generation, yeah. You never know. One never knows. We're getting more ambitious in a lot of ways, and we'll just have to wait and see, or our kids will wait and see.
And we'll see how the last generation looked at the future in Oceans of Emptiness, Part 2, CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Go.
I won't do it, Dick. I won't take this lying down.
No?
What are you going to do about it?
Think of something.
I'm certainly not going to sit around twiddling my thumbs while the great Dystra checks our credentials.
I don't like the looks of this place any better than you do. Secret project, he says. For all we know, it may be the headquarters of some gangster out there.
There are a lot of things about this Green Valley setup that bother me. Nothing definite. I just get a feeling that everything's a little lopsided. As if I were looking at it through a Coney Island mirror.
Oh, easy now, Jim. You'll be going bats if you...
Dick, I've got it.
Got what?
That visiphone. We can get into Dystra's office some way. We can phone home.
Oh, no. You're way off, Jim. There isn't a chance in a million.
Why not? This room's not locked. They finished work for the day. We saw everybody leave.
All right. All right, we'll try it. But, Jim, watch your step, will you? I feel sort of responsible for you.
The office. So far, so good.
Try the door.
Open.
Inside, fast. It's very dark in here.
But... Now, where was that visiphone?
Oh, it's right here. Put the call in, but don't light the scanning cone. I'll use this pocket flash.
You listen for anyone approaching. Here goes.
Confused? So are we. Sorry, gang. There's been a labeling issue. Let's do this. Let's play a quick Wheel O Radio. I'm going to spin it myself, and Dave is going to frantically dig to see what we can do about this as I give the radio wheel a tug.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
As a public service paid for by the National Foundation to Improve Things, we invite you now to spend another educational session with the idol of the nation's youngsters, Mr. Science. And as we look in on the laboratory today, we see that little Jimmy Schwab is just arriving to watch Mr. Science perform his latest fascinating experiment.
Well, hello there, Jimmy. You're right on time to watch me perform my latest fascinating experiment.
Gosh, all hemlock, Mr. Science. What fascinating experiment are you going to perform today?
Well, I'm sure you'll remember from last time we were discussing Archimedes' principle, and I promised to demonstrate it for you.
Holy cow, Mr. Science. I don't remember anything about that at all.
Well, that's all right, Jimmy.
The doctors have told my parents that I'll probably never be able to remember anything for as long as a week.
Well, Archimedes' principle only takes a moment to review. It states that a body immersed in water will only sink until it has displaced the amount of liquid that's equal to its own mass and density. Now do you understand, Jimmy?
Gee, willikers, I don't think so. And even if I do, I can't remember it for a week.
Well, I'm sure after you've observed today's experiment, it'll be fixed more firmly in your mind. Now, to prove Archimedes' principle, we first must fill this bucket with liquid.
Primanently, Mr. Science, that liquid looks exactly like the stuff we get in our bathtub at home when we turn on the faucet.
Well, that's just could be, Jimmy, because the bucket now contains ordinary household water.
Household water? Great day in the morning. Wait till I tell the kids at school I've seen some of that.
Now, let's try to keep yourself under control, son. I know this is a big thrill for you, but the best part is still to come. Now, I'm going to toss this rock into the bucket of water, and you watch carefully what happens.
Holy Moses, Mr. Science. It went clear to the bottom underneath all the liquid.
Exactly. And do you know why?
Golly, no. I never expected that to happen.
Well, just remember what we said about Archimedes' principle. You see, the rock was heavier than the water, and that's why it sank in an effort to displace its own mass and density.
Great suffering catfish. It's like the wonders of the universe were unfolding before my very eyes.
Well, that's very well put, Jimmy. Now, to complete our experiment, I'll place this wooden toothpick in the same bucket of water.
Boy, oh boy, look at that. It's not sinking in an effort to displace its own mass and density. So Archimedes was wrong, huh?
No, not at all, Jimmy. You see, wood is lighter than water.
Even a whole tree full of it?
Yes, in proportion to its size. That's why wood always floats. And it's our way of proving by a simple experiment here in the laboratory that Archimedes' principle is correct.
Jiminy, gee, that was a wonderful experiment, Mr. Science. Can I toss this box into the bucket and see if it floats
too? No, leave that alone. It contains the ingredients for next week's experiment. Don't touch it, boy.
Well, I only want to toss it in like this.
No, I'd rather you...
Mr. Science has been brought to you as a public service, paid for by the National Foundation to Improve Things. Today's broadcast was the last in our current series.
How did it happen again?
Well, I was driving down the freeway on my way to work watching this old Betty Grable movie.
Watching an old Betty Grable movie?
Yeah, on a little portable TV. I had it sitting up there in the dashboard.
I know,
but all of a sudden, this commercial comes on. The guy in a white coat says, "Now watch this amazing demonstration."
And?
I watched. Next thing I knew, pow!
Look, you can't watch television commercials while you commute.
I found that out.
You can't read a newspaper.
No.
The only thing you could do while you're driving is listen to the radio.
Yeah, well, that's all I intend to do, boy, just as soon as I get out of traction.
Who listens to radio?
Radio.
No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million people.
150 million people, and some of you are right here. I want to thank everybody who called us live, live in the chat here. We got Angel, CW, Fox Bean, of course, Linda Liu, and maybe Dave will join me back in the studio at some point as he scrambles to recover part two of our CBS Radio Mystery Theater story. But in the meantime, I get to play disc jockey.
Peanuts, peanuts, salted peanuts, get them hot, eat a lot. Fresh roasted, salty, crispy, crunchy peanuts. They're so delicious, I'm telling you, Jack, you'll find a bag of tasty snack at the back. That's right, Jack, I really get hot when I've got salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, you can never be blue if you chew. Salt peanuts, every time you see me and I haven't got them, I'm so beat I can't even move. But let me get my hands upon a bag of peanuts, and I get right back in the groove. Everything is all right when I eat salt peanuts, no drag. Daddy, it's in the bag. They're fine, there's never a doubt. That's why I'm singing about those peanuts, salt peanuts. Oh boy, how those goobers knock me out. There's many, many incidents, I have you understand, that makes me think the peanut is the best food in the land.
But the average person is a square as far as peanuts go.
So listen while I hit you cats for some jive you ought to know.
Go ahead.
Now, in the Garden of Eden, there were just two people there.
Yeah, Eve, she was a fly chick, but Adam was a square.
Well, the devil dug them balling, and so he took a trip.
Yeah, up to that righteous God, all sharp and straight and hip.
He said, hey, Eve, come over here. I'm stashed up in this tree. I'll give you gold and everything if you'll just come with me.
Nay, old man, was all she said. Your gold don't really matter.
So Satan, as a last resort, threw a bag of peanuts at her.
Uh-huh.
And there was Daniel. Was he scared while in the lion's den?
No, Jack. He had some peanuts. All the lions were his friends.
And the whale that swallowed Jonah was a mighty smart old fish.
Well, he knew that Jonah had peanuts. That was his favorite dish.
Man, wasn't that one old hip chick that fished Moses from the stream?
Yeah, she fed him solid peanuts. He went right back on the bin.
And why do you think old Joshua fought so hard for Jericho?
Well, he needed all that land to plant the goobers he would grow.
Then there was a guy named Romeo. He was Shakespeare's Errol Flynn.
Yeah, he loved a chick named Juliet. She had a double chin.
Well, what Romeo liked about this bag was not her gruesome charm.
Well, he loved her because of Pappy on a great big goober farm.
Jack, I really get hot when I've got salt peanuts, you can never be blue if you chew salt peanuts, every time you see me and I haven't got them, I'm so beat I can't even move, but let me get my hands upon a bag of peanuts, and I get right back in the groove. Everything is all right when I eat salt peanuts, no drag, Daddy, it's in the bag, hooray, by Jiminy G, knocked out with vitamin D, they're munchy, crumb, crunchy, delicious and nutritious, salty, salt peanuts.
Get yours now. And I think Dave is back.
Yeah, I got disconnected. Good old Google Voice. Thank you so much, Google Voice. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. But we have corrected the issue at hand and are ready now for part two. That's part two of Oceans of Emptiness. We'll be back.
It's been said that the universe is full of magical things patiently waiting for our wits to grow sharp enough to discover them. Ned Miller is almost certain that he and his wife, Chloe, are on the sharp brink of human history at the birth of a gigantic, mysterious adventure more important almost than anything the human mind has ever been capable of grasping.
Don't do it, Ned. It could be dangerous.
Don't try to stop me, Chloe. At this moment, we're orbiting Jupiter at a distance of less than 2 million miles. At our present speed, we could alter course and reach its surface in 10 minutes.
Then what? Land on Jupiter?
Not yet. First, I'm going to probe a direct radio signal to its surface. See what response I get, if any.
Pretty big target. Where do you direct the beam? What part of Jupiter's surface?
Right onto the great red spot.
Ned, no, you can't do that. Jupiter gives off a higher magnetic energy than anything in space we know of. As for the great red spot, we know almost nothing at all about it. What you're about to do could very well blast us to bits.
Yeah, well, it's the chance we'll have to take.
Don't take that chance, Ned, please.
We've gone this far, we're not stopping now.
Then heaven help us both.
Here we go.
No! Turn it off! Stop it! Yes, stop it! Ned, are you all right?
I think so. You?
A little shook up. You stopped transmitting just in time.
Yeah, I guess it was more than we could take.
That was the biggest electrical storm I've ever seen in my life. The bolts of lightning, the balls of orange flame.
Yeah, we could never get through that circle of energy. Even when I changed frequencies, we came close to overloading every one of our circuits.
Ned, look at me. No, please don't turn away. Look at me.
What's wrong now?
I don't know. Something funny is happening to you. Something I don't understand.
Like what?
Like those gray streaks in your hair, the ones I'm so fond of.
The streaks you say make me look so handsome, so distinguished, so mature?
Ned, they're not there. They're gone.
What are you talking about?
Here, look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And the scar on your cheek?
From the accident years ago.
It's not there either. It's gone, too. And you look 5 years younger than you did a few minutes ago. Hand me the mirror. Those lines under my eyes, they're gone. I look the way I did a couple of years back, too. What is happening?
I'm not sure.
Could it be that... No. No, that would be insane.
What?
When we travel as close to the speed of light as we are now, we're into a whole new concept of time, of space, in which common sense has almost no experience. Right?
Well, we both know that.
It just could be that... Ned, look at your wristwatch. What time do you have?
Well, back on Earth, the time should be...
The second hand of your watch. Look at it. It's moving counterclockwise. Now, look at the atomic clock over your head. Same thing. It's going backwards, too. Slowly, but backwards. Don't you see? As our ship gains speed, time is slowing down. We're being forced to go backward in time. Just like your watch and the clock.
But, Chloe...
That would mean that all our biological processes are starting to work in reverse. Which would explain how we look. Ned, first we've got to slow down, and then you've got to turn this ship back to Earth right now, this very minute.
Chloe, for the last time, I have no intention of turning back, no matter what the risk.
What makes you so absolutely pig-headed?
Because I know that the chemistry on Jupiter existed almost identically on our own planet long before the emergence of life.
So what?
I know, too. But millions of years ago, the Earth's first atmosphere, when it was exposed to the action of sunlight, produced more complex molecules, organic molecules of a very crude but elementary form of life.
And?
The possibility of that having happened, of happening on Jupiter, may be remote. As remote as our being out here in space, traveling at this speed would have been only 10 years ago.
Your point is...
Even if there's only one chance in a million that there is a form of life on Jupiter, we cannot turn our backs on that possibility.
Is that it, Ned?
That's it.
Then get out of my way.
What do you think you're doing?
Don't try to stop me. I'm taking us back to Earth.
Put down that laser gun, Chloe.
Don't come near me, Ned, because I will use this gun if you make me. You stay where you are.
Drop that gun!
Ned, you hit me!
Don't you try anything like that again. Now, the first thing we do is report to ground control on Earth. Tell them what we've seen, what's been happening, and what we plan to do.
And then?
And then we're going to try to get through to Jupiter.
We just tried, and you couldn't. We nearly got killed.
The radio signal couldn't get through. That's not to say that we, the ship, couldn't.
You mean you're going to stop circling Jupiter and try to get the ship past that fantastic magnetic field? We'll be vaporized into cinders.
Remember that line in Shakespeare's Macbeth? I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none. Get ground control on the sensor.
Hyperion to ground control. Earth. Hyperion to ground control. Earth. Come in, please. I'm having trouble contacting them.
I'll keep trying.
Hyperion orbiting the planet Jupiter to ground control. Earth. Any station. Any station. Earth. Come in, please. Nothing yet.
You've made allowance for the time lapse?
Of course. Wait. Wait, there's something coming through. It's very faint, but I think I may have something.
What do you make of that?
Quiet, Ned. I want to hear this.
Try another wavelength.
I already have. Here it comes again.
What is it?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Yeah, certainly not ground control. That couldn't possibly be Earth. Wait a minute. Those lights out there. Like the 4th of July. Where are they coming from?
Shining right into our eyes. They're trying to blind us.
What in heaven's name is causing that?
Take a look out of the starboard portal.
I don't believe it.
You were right. Those sounds, they were not coming from Earth. There's where they were coming from.
It's that thing. It's come back again.
That big flaming rock. Whatever it is, it's still after us. Spitting its flames all over the place.
Veer over to port, Chloe.
Okay. Ned, the rock's doing the same thing.
Give it more, Chloe. Further to port.
No, it doesn't seem to make any difference.
And take it to starboard.
You see, it is the same number of degrees that we do, in the same direction.
Put us into reverse. Back off from it, and whatever you do, maintain speed.
We're in reverse. But the distance between us remains the same. No. I'm wrong. It's coming closer. We're acting like a magnet, drawing it to us.
Oh. That's no rock. That's a vessel. A ship of some kind.
But from where?
There's that signal again. I have an idea.
What?
Look, if it were out to destroy us, it would have done so by this time. Instead, it keeps following every move we make.
What are you getting at?
Whatever it is, I think it may not be out to destroy us at all.
You think maybe they're trying to communicate with it?
That's my guess.
There they go again. Same signal.
Turn on the decoding system, Chloe. It should decode whatever it is they're trying to say to us. Translate it into something we can understand. What's happening?
The decoder doesn't seem to work. All it does is make their signal even stronger than it was.
Nothing?
Nothing at all. What do we do?
Well, for the moment, all we can do is to maintain course. See what happens.
Ned?
Yeah?
The rock. Oh, thank heavens, it's going away.
Yeah, so it is.
Do you smell anything like ammonia in here?
Ammonia?
I smell ammonia.
So do I. Where would it be coming from?
Look, down at your feet, Ned, right under the guidance system. What is that?
Well, it looks like a little... It's a pool of liquid. It's growing larger.
Well, how did it get there?
I have no idea.
There's another little pool near the transmitter. Do we have any ammonia on board?
Not that I know of.
Do you suppose...
Hey, there's another one behind you, over there, near the grid, spreading out wider and wider, all by itself.
Ammonia is one of the ingredients of Jupiter's atmosphere. Could it be some sort of life form from Jupiter? The life form you've been suspecting, Ned?
I don't know.
And if these liquid pools should be that, how did they get in here into the cabin?
I have no idea.
Something just occurred to me. That message we picked up from Earth. The one where we heard that man speaking about us, what great heroes we were?
Yeah, what about it?
Could it in some way tie up with all this? Could it be there has been some kind of permanent twisting of time? Something we don't understand? Maybe it is, just as the man said, the year 2095. 100 years from the time we lifted off.
Now take it easy, Chloe.
And if it is, what are we doing here? With that thing outside breathing down our necks. And the growing pools of ammonia on board ship coming from nowhere. Maybe we are dead. Maybe we've been dead for a long time. Maybe we're a couple of corpses whirling around in an endless ocean of emptiness.
Where do ideas originate? Do they come from hard reasoning? Or do ideas come from those natural instincts we call intuition? And if they do come from intuition, is it true that the insight, the intuition of a woman is a lot more sensitive, more reliable than that of a man? If that's true, then Chloe Miller's fears that she and Ned may both indeed be dead, floating through endless space, should give us more than a moment's pause.
Thursday night, the CBS Late Movie presents an entertaining double feature. There's comedy with the Jeffersons. They're never bored living in a swank New York apartment.
You ain't lying.
The Jeffersons always manage to keep in step with the excitement and sophistication of living high off the hog in the Big Apple.
Shorty.
Uh-huh.
Shrimp.
Life just couldn't be better or funnier for the Jeffersons. Then it's suspense on the CBS Mystery Movie. A great double feature on the CBS Late Movie every Thursday night on CBS Television.
Newscasters merely entertainers? Are the ratings more important than the news? I'm Ron Powers, TV critic and journalist, and I've written a book about the showbiz side of the news. It's called The Newscasters. The Los Angeles Times calls it shocking, provocative. The Wall Street Journal says The Newscasters will make you mad. It should.
The Newscasters by Pulitzer Prize winner Ron Powers, an explosive paperback from Leisure Books. Leisure, the more you have, the more you want.
Home is where the heart is, they say, and it's also where you live, and you want to have that, in the very best of shape it can be. Wouldn't it be great to decorate your entire home with the best paneling, most luxurious mosaic and ceramic tiles, rich plush carpeting, and attractive yet durable cushioned seamless non-wax congoleum vinyl floors without destroying your budget? Well, you can if you buy what thousands of contractors buy at Century Supply. Century Supply, with four locations in Chicagoland, offers an endless array of first-quality floor, ceiling, and wall treatments at near wholesale prices. If you've got your eye on luxurious styling without the hassle of waxing, a congoleum floor is definitely for you. Cushioned for warmth, softness, and comfort, your congoleum floor will fit anywhere in the home. Practically maintenance-free, its long-lasting beauty is a definite boom to the budget. And Century Supply has it. Century Supply in four locations, Mount Prospect, Lombard, and Chicago. This...
Well, that was an abrupt ending to that commercial, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, and you stuck with us through that little bumpy ride to get you part two of CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And there's a whole chunk of it left too, huh, Dave?
Yeah, there is. During that time, I re-downloaded the program, re-split it up, reset it up, and loaded it up to Erie House just in time to catch part two. I don't know what the heck happened there, but I was asleep at the wheel, I guess.
No one can edit on the fly like Dave, though. That's amazing.
Uh-oh.
We're
in trouble. We're in trouble.
Bloop, 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 bloop. It's gonna be the bloop.
bloop, 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 bloop. She says, congratulations, Fogg. Thanks for the great radio. That's what bloop, Debbie the Bloop just said.
Yep.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
And also give me a banana, I think she also said.
Yeah, I don't know what that animal is. You whistle in the dark again?
See, now you can talk about it, Gar.
Oh. I can talk about whistling in the dark?
No, about the radio.
Oh.
Dave got his today, at last.
I can't talk about it.
Now you can.
I can't. I still haven't opened the box.
Oh, wow. Well,
so now I know what's in it, but thanks. That's
well, you do, but you don't.
I do, but I don't. Yeah, I know. Well,
you yes, do, we, but you don't. Yes.
That's right. Right.
It's
I do be
provocative
do be don't.
Provocative pictures of Coal Shack. The secret's out.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So what
well,
you get for not
I,
opening
I wasn't,
your mail?
Wasn't expecting that.
Yes, it's Darren McGavin posing like Burt Reynolds. I don't know.
It's Darren McGavin showing off his leg lamp.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I do have a 45 of, now that you said Burt Reynolds, I have a 45 of him singing, Let's Do Something Cheap and Superficial. I have a 45 of him singing. Believe it or not, I do.
I didn't know
somehow
the guy could croon,
Burt Reynolds,
okay.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Wait, Burt Reynolds or?
No, Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds sing it, yeah.
Oh,
Let's
oh
do something
I thought
cheap
maybe
and superficial.
Cause,
No. Darren McGavin was much classier than that. His wouldn't
yeah.
be
oh,
cheap.
Okay.
He
nor
wouldn't
superficial.
Be
caught dead. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Linda Lou has that 45 also. Oh, she had it. She had it.
She had it. That's so funny.
She had it. I still do, yes.
That's so frightening.
I was only going to call in to go bloop, 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 and that was it. And but yeah. Might as well stick around now.
Getting all ready for Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul.
I am applying latex as we mumble. Yes.
Yeah, but are you doing your show?
No. Just applying latex. I said nothing about doing a show. What are you crazy?
But there's a lot of latex
are you,
involved,
are you
gang.
From
That's
Parma?
All we know.
What?
We just know there's a lot of
Girl,
latex
are you from
involved.
Parma?
Yes, I am from Parma. Wait, did you say what area of the world?
What? Parma?
I thought you
We're
said
waiting.
Parma.
There we go. Oh!
Someone stole that Kishka.
Someone stole my polka Polish sausage or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We got a
whole lot of radio.
There's a big segment coming up here. I mean, it's
going
to
be
really
bye.
So long.
Well, this would be a good place for Debbie the Bloop to introduce the part
bloop,
three.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
There you go.
This is WBBM Chicago.
Welcome, Debbie.
People who are convinced that we children of the earth may be about ready to reach maturity in the great universe that lies beyond the tiny worlds we know of. And when this happens, they say, it's altogether probable that a new species of life will break out of its present physical bonds and become free and independent in the universe. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. We just heard Chloe Miller say to her husband as they hurtled through space,
"Maybe we are dead. Maybe we've been dead for a long time. Maybe we're a couple of corpses whirling around in an endless ocean of emptiness, just behaving as if we were alive."
"Chloe, I've changed my mind.
We are turning back. Back to Earth.
Oh, Ned, thank you. Oh, thank you. You don't know how happy that makes me.
Oh, would you like to know why?
The only thing that matters is that we're going back.
It's because... Well, now, I'm afraid.
Ned, you know I wasn't really serious about that laser gun. I would never have used it.
Yeah. It's a little more than that.
I don't follow.
For the past few hours, your fears have been building one right after the other. The fear of being vaporized in space because of our speed. The enormous fear of that thing that's still out there somewhere. The fear of my wanting to try to make an actual encounter to land on Jupiter. And then...
Yes?
Now look at me, Chloe. The silver streaks in my hair. The scar on my cheek, where they've always been.
But they did disappear. We both saw it.
Yeah, they went away only for a minute or two. And I think I know why. Look at the atomic clock over your head. Which way is the second hand moving?
The way it should, but... It wasn't before, Ned. I swear to you, it was moving backwards.
And suppose it was.
What are you trying to tell me? That I'm not responsible for what I see or do?
That's not what I'm talking about.
Then what are you talking about? Because only one of us can be right.
No, we're both right. We must have penetrated some kind of weird time pocket, like an air pocket, in which time and our life processes were, in fact, working in reverse. But we're out of that now. And things are normal once again.
Normal? Are there pools of liquid down there at your feet, or aren't there? Is that smell of ammonia normal? Or is all this something that will be gone in a minute or two?
No, the pools are there. The pools are real.
Then maybe I'm not quite as irresponsible as you make me seem.
We're going back. Once we leave Jupiter's orbit, we should be back on Earth in, 38 hours.
Roughly.
Yeah. What's our course?
According to the grid reading, it looks as if... Wait a minute.
What is it?
The reading on the Omicron activator, it should be 108. Instead, it's at zero. It's gone dead. And the grid is blank.
Yeah, what's gone wrong?
Ned, do you think that the pools of ammonia, or whatever they are, do you think they might have done something to the ship's mechanism? Otherwise, there's no reason for this malfunction.
Well, what could they have done?
Shh, keep your voice down. They may hear us.
What?
They may understand.
Well, what are you doing with that fire extinguisher?
The liquid carbon dioxide in the extinguisher. Maybe it'll work on them.
What in heaven's name is...
This carbon dioxide may at least neutralize those things that are spreading all over the cabin floor. There. Look at it, Ned.
It's shrinking. Look, it's getting smaller and smaller.
Now, this one over here and there.
Whoa. Hey, they're just about gone.
Look, Ned. The grid is working again. And the Omicron activator is where it should be.
Then they were causing the mechanism's malfunction. But how?
The thing is, they're gone. Now, let's get this ship moving to where we want. To where we really belong. While we still can.
A look at the scanner.
Oh, you can actually begin to see Mother Earth. Everything's just as it should be.
Except for one thing.
Which is?
Are we 100% sure that is Earth?
Well, that's a silly question. What else could it be?
I'm not sure. I have the oddest feeling.
It's still far off. Double the intensity on your scope and take another look.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's just the one moon. More than half the surface appears to be water. Plenty of oxygen in the atmosphere, and yet...
What are you worried about?
I can't say. Something strange and unfamiliar about it. I mean, look at that thick, orange-colored smog sitting on top of everything.
Ned, you're tired. The strain's been a little too much.
For both of us.
We'll be arriving in no time at all.
What are your plans, Captain?
Well, before we head in for actual re-entry, we activate the helicopter system. Then we can hover over it for a bit, take a careful look to see what we're getting on to when we land. Ground speed, Flo?
72 miles an hour.
Chopper system?
Everything A-okay. Where are we headed?
I'm not sure yet. Just looking. If we could only make contact with ground control.
Our re-entry was programmed for South Dakota.
Yeah, that's what's puzzling me. This is certainly not South Dakota. Look at it. Mile after mile of nothing but yellow sand and desert. Not one tree. Not even a single bit of shrubbery. All of it flat as the palm of my hand.
Where are we?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, then keep going. After all, we have made it back to Earth. Ned? Look, up ahead. Those are mountains, aren't they? Rising out of the flatland?
Yes, so they are.
Let's head toward them. Meantime, I'll go over the ground charts again. Try to find some sort of a clue. Wait a minute. What's that? Down there, over to the right.
I've never seen anything like it.
Like a tremendous plastic bubble.
Yeah.
An enormous sheet of film covering the mountains. As if it were protecting them in some way.
It stretches out almost to the horizon. Let's go down, take a look, see what it is. Some way of getting inside this bubble. Wherever we go, it's sealed tight. No hint of an opening.
Are we so sure that we want to get inside?
Why not? Hey, how did that happen? It opened by itself.
A panel of some kind. It just slid open. Do we go in?
Follow me.
The panel. It slid closed behind us. Ned, I don't believe it. Look. Look at all that lush green vegetation and the flowers. Varieties and colors I've never seen before. Such fantastic shapes.
Chloe, look up there. At the top of the mountain.
Where?
Straight up.
How could I have missed them? That's Mount Rushmore.
Hey, that's the head of George Washington carved into the rock. Isn't that Lincoln? Jefferson?
And Teddy Roosevelt. The features are all worn away. We're in South Dakota, all right. No doubt of that.
But how did Mount Rushmore... In fact, what are we doing under this plastic canopy that's over everything? Oh. There's something weird going on here.
Oh, no. No, not that.
That same signal...
Ned, turn around.
Hey, are those people coming down that path from those caves up there?
There are six of them.
What are they?
They look like human beings, but they're all bald and their skin is like parchment. They all look alike. And they're so old. So terribly, terribly ancient. They walk as if they were asleep or dead.
They've stopped.
That one, do you see? He's coming from behind the others. He's coming closer to us.
He's the only one who looks different from the rest of them. He has a big shock of white, uncombed hair.
Be quiet. I think he's trying to say something to us. His lips are moving.
Who are you?
I'm Ned Miller. This is my wife, Chloe.
How do you do?
You look familiar. Have we ever met before?
I think not. I hope you were not too alarmed by your journey here. You know where you are?
Our point of re-entry was programmed for South Dakota.
I am so sorry. This is not, how do you say it, South Dakota? You are welcome, my young friends, but you are strangers to us.
Sir... exactly where are we and who are you?
We are of a world you never knew, people you never dreamed of.
May I ask, sir, who you are?
The oldest of us all.
How old are you?
I cannot remember exactly. One year has become so little different from any other.
Yes, well, that's not so for us. This year is especially important for my wife and me.
Yes, 1995 is a year we're not apt to forget.
1995? Well, you are mistaken. This is not 1995.
Oh, it has to be. We left the Earth only a couple of days ago.
The present year, reckoned by the primitive calendar your people used more than 5,000 years ago, is 6998. 6,998.
But how could that be?
Oh, it is so simple. Your space vehicle, the one that brought you here, was traveling quite close to the speed of light. Not so?
You know about that?
You could travel between any two places, from that Earth of yours, for example, to some very far-off star, in a conveniently short period of time, as measured on your vehicle.
From the time of our takeoff, we've only been gone a little more than 2 days.
Ah, but you forget. As time slowed down for you as a result of your fantastic speed, it kept going on for us. It kept going on Earth. What was 2 days for you was over 5,000 years for the rest of us. Exactly 5,003 Earth's years have gone by since you left the Earth.
Chloe, if that's so, then that would explain the voice we heard minutes after our takeoff, where they spoke of the 100th anniversary of our leaving the Earth. They said it was 2095, remember?
And spoke of us as if we'd been dead for 100 years.
That was 2095. A long time ago, I know. I once visited your Earth for a moment or two in eternity.
You keep saying your Earth, that Earth of yours. If that isn't Mount Rushmore up there, what are those four heads carved into the rocks?
Well, they are the heads of the four scientists who are supposed to have made the greatest contributions to the universe in the past 5 millennia. The features are almost worn away by the ravages of time.
Then I ask again, who are you? And how did we get here?
You are here because we wanted you here. You thought you were returning to your own little planet, but it was quite a simple matter for us to alter your course in space.
You mean all those things that were happening to us out there?
We made them happen.
But why?
Because we were curious to investigate an unusual species of life that has become almost totally extinct in the universe. A species called the human race.
You're talking about the two of us.
Exactly.
Sir, you must permit us to return to Earth.
Return? There is no longer any Earth. Your people destroyed it. You fouled the world with air you could not breathe, with water you could not drink, with food that poisoned you. Some of you had the good sense to emigrate here. But then the same thing began to happen. So we built this bubble, as you call it, as our protection against you.
And you, sir?
I have lived in many places, in different universes, at many, many different times. You see, I have almost learned the great secret of immortality, of life without ends. Now you must excuse me, please. I have grown a little tired. Make yourselves comfortable. My friends will take care of all your wants.
Sir, one last question.
Yes?
Just who are you? Your name?
A simple mathematician and an amateur violinist. My name? Albert Einstein.
Albert?
Albert Einstein.
Mr. Miller, Mrs. Miller, Ned, Chloe, I bid you both a very pleasant welcome.
A well-known poet has written, I dipped into the future far as human eye could see, saw the vision of the world and all the wonder that could be. We have done more than a little dipping into the future with our story, but who is to say that it could not happen? I'll return shortly.
Danielle Steele. Millions of women like you and me have loved her bestsellers, from To Love Again to The Promise, because no one knows more about loving. I thought loving would never be part of my life again after two men broke my heart. That was before Oliver, before I learned how little I know about myself and loving. Loving. Danielle Steele's new novel captures all the joys and risks that are part of every woman's passion. Loving, a new Dell paperback bestseller. Here's an important energy announcement from Amana, an announcement that can save you money. According to figures just published by the United States government, Amana refrigerators have the lowest estimated yearly operating costs in 5 out of 8 different size categories, from 12 cubic feet to 25 cubic feet. So if you're looking for a refrigerator, big or small, see your Amana retailer right away. Amana. First again with energy savers.
Interesting footnote. Albert Einstein was not, is not, if you please, an extraterrestrial living on some far-off star who designed to spend a minute or two of his time, his time, on Earth. That, of course, is no more than a figment of our writer's imagination. But the element of an incredibly huge time warp, the tremendous difference between the time of an object traveling close to the speed of light and the time back on Earth, is not the product of a writer's fantasies, but absolute, proven, scientific fact. A fact which we owe to Dr. Albert Einstein. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Terry Keane, and Arnold Moss. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I want you to sponsor me.
Sponsor you? Why?
I am carrying your work forward.
You are denying everything I ever held to be true.
But I'm building on your foundation.
Why, you discredit me.
Your place is secure. But now you must yield to men who have gone beyond you. It happens to all great discoverers. Darwin, Freud, Einstein.
Yes, but not yet. Not now. Not this year. Wait till I'm dead.
Professor!
This dagger destroys me. This bronze-bladed dagger destroys me. Why did you have to find it?
Because it was there.
Why did you have to bring it here and show it to me?
Because I wanted you to be the first to know.
The first to know that I'm disgraced?
Professor, that isn't true.
Oh, I could kill you.
What are you saying?
I could kill you with this dagger. I could kill you.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Three parts, believe it or not.
Yeah, it took us a little bit, but we got there.
Woo! So
Dave comes to the rescue in a pinch, and not only that. Not only that, but I think Dave has a little something for us. Eerie House Radio proudly resents a garrulous moral of the story.
Apologies to Gar. If you're going to explore space, do it alone. If you take your wife, she'll want you to stop for directions or turn around and go back, and she won't let you play with the atomic radio. That's it.
I'm going to memorize it. Really, we want to teach the parrot this one. I think that would be awesome to teach the parrot to sing the Kohl Shack theme, to whistle
the Kohl Shack theme. I'm sure the ladies weren't happy with my moral, but it's just a guy's view. You got to remember that, ladies.
Yeah, we're just slowly men. What do we know?
According to my wife, not much. So, you know, you're right.
So, Dave, some milestones for you. Not only the 500th show here on Erie House Radio, but you recently completed the 100th. 100 yet. Wow.
The 100th two-hour movie show, The Weirdest Really Bad Movie, and brought back the cast. It was absolutely amazing. We had over 24 cast members contribute to that particular episode. Absolutely amazing. I knew I'd worked with so many talented people, Dale, and you know that because you've worked with us a few times. But I honestly didn't have that. Until the video started coming in, it just overwhelmed me. Of all the people we worked with over the last over 10 years now, and starting our next grouping, we went out Wednesday and filmed at the Trollhole Museum in Alliance, Ohio, and it's on the editing board.
Wishnick.
Wishnick is just one of the trolls that they have there. I mean, we stand between these two big giant trolls at one point during the show. It should be a lot of fun to go through there. We do a couple of interviews. One is with the gal who, she owns like 14 buildings in Alliance, Ohio. And one of them, of course, has this troll hole. And another one, we went and had a short visit there. It's at a cat cafe where you can pay to go spend time with cats. So we do a short interview over there as well as all the silliness and a movie, The Black Doll, and all the silliness we do at the museum as well. So, and the sketches, it'll be fun. Number 101 will be lots of fun. How's that?
With tons of trolls. I can't believe they made a museum dedicated to people who like irritate other people on the internet. I mean, who knew?
Yeah, I'm telling you, that was one of my first lines in there. It wasn't what I expected. I expected a bunch of people, a bunch of guys there typing on the bad things on the internet. But it's interesting. She holds the Guinness Book of World Records for these Wishnick troll dolls. And that was about a third of the collection she now has.
Jeez.
And she hopes they don't have to go through that certification again, because it's a very either time-consuming or very expensive process, one way or the other. But absolutely amazing. I'm just tickled that we got to another one of those interesting little places that very few people get to hear about. We'll get to share that with everybody. So
Dave has this amazing knack. See, he doesn't do a studio like some hosts do, you know, like some of these internet horror hosts do. No, he doesn't have a studio. Northeast Ohio is his studio, and he finds places.
That's true.
Just like he themes up our radio shows here each and every weekend, which we'll talk about some upcoming stuff in a little bit. But he themes his movie and skits around his location.
Yeah, sometimes the skits are there, but usually the skits are kind of free form. But sometimes they are. This was an amazing shoot. It was our first on location shoot since the COVID, and everybody that was involved, I had three crew and two cast, and everybody involved has had two of our shots, And so it was kind of nice to get out and go to a place. And it was closed that day, so we had really had a free run of it with our with each other. So it was just a really neat time.
Nice. So not only did you get out there and get to do another show, you got to have fun too.
Yep, absolutely. Now comes the editing. But yeah, I've already got one put together, and I've got the second one on the board. So within the next 2 weeks, we'll have it all put together there. I do multi-cameras. I'll tell you something even neat, Dale. There's two segments I only did with one camera, the 4K, but with that 4K, I made four different shots out of the 4K camera. So it's because you could scope down in 4K and not lose your resolution. So it was kind of another neat thing that we can do.
Now, tell the truth here. Which do you like better, shooting or editing?
The editing is fun, but the shooting is a blast because I'm working with other people there. Here, I'm by myself editing, but the shooting, because I'm working around so many people, that's where the biggest fun is. The editing is cool. Don't get, because I'm always trying different things with, like, making four shots out of a single 4K camera shoot. So
my spin on it is both rewarding, exhilarating, and yet frightening, because the control is like in your hands as far as the storytelling when you're editing. However, so is really that's the final single fingerprint. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? Once
it's all, yeah, it's all your fault if it goes wrong. But it's just amazing. You take it from an idea of going to the Troll Museum. You come up with an idea for the scripts. You make the scripts. You get them down and out to people. You film that idea, and you take it and make the final product. It's just amazing that the final product, to see that from a basic idea of going to this Troll Hole Museum. So, Angel Asylum is right. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms and caregivers out there. I know that my cats and I, we got a couple of cards from my wife, and I know that I got a card for my mom, which I'll be hand delivering tomorrow because I'm too cheap to pay the postage. And all of them, because if it weren't for mom, I would be walking around I'd be having cake for dinner, and I'd be walking around with dirty underwear if it weren't for mom, who, always made sure.
I don't want to know that.
Well, no, because your mom is one always made you, you don't have an accident. If you have an accident, you better have clean underwear on. So,
yes, that's true.
And you don't know when you're going to have an accident, so you always have clean underwear on.
Let me ask you this. If it's an accident, how long do you expect that clean underwear to remain clean?
It depends on the accident. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? you may not have clean underwear anyway, depending on the accident.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day, especially if you are a mother or have a mother or you are a mother.
Or you've been called a mother. Or you've been called a mother. You know?
That's happened to me too many times. more than I care to count.
Yep.
But we're going to bring Vincent back today. We've neglected him the last two consecutive shows. So you can look forward to hearing the great one in just a few seconds here. As we thank you again for joining us live next week. What do we got? Some radio. We're wishing. Wish I may, wish I might. You'll find out more by tuning in starting Friday at 8:30 Eastern for the live show. As usual, you can catch shows in the archive. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next weekend.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Thanks, guys. We'll See you next week.
Perfect. Perfect.
Little filler. Little filler at the end.
Sorry about that.
Pleasant Scream. Except that's been done to death, Pleasant Screams.
Yeah.
Yeah. we should probably wrap it up quick. I know I don't know if your back's still hurting, but mine is not doing well either. God.
All right, well, in that
aging thing.
Yeah, and then I found out when they did all the x-rays and stuff, it looks like I've got some nice arthritis in my back.
So oh, how that's wonderful. Not
my, although that's not bothering me much now, I'm sure it'll be there in the future to annoy me.
That's what it does. That's what...
Hey, it is what it is what it is.
True.
But you know what is?
True. At least we're here
know
to
what it is.
Grip about it.
It is Erie House Radio, and Erie House Radio will be back again next week. That's what it is.
Yep.
And so with that, why don't we bring in the one, the only, James Durant? Or James Durante from Columbia.
Good night. Good night. It's time to say
goodnight. One of those things, I don't know.
Night. Good night. Good night. What for this sake but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Sorry for what we say, and ink-a-tink-a-do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Wait, Dave, it's not that one. I know. Don't we have great... Oh, God. We just... There's great people around us. It's a show that never ends. Run! We'll be back.